Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Every so often, you meet a guy or a gal or somebody that you just like immediately. I've had that happen today. The guy's name is Gregory Vedder, CEO and founder of GregoryVedder.com and all his different companies, which include Alta Fresh Foods and Homegrown Brands, amongst others. He is on the line right now. Greg, can I call you Greg, or do you, Gregory, what are we going to call you here?
Greg, or whatever you prefer. Doesn't really matter to me.
Okay. So you and I had a little bit of time before the show started. You told me an epic story, and I want to give a truncated version of it. Here's a guy who grows up in a, we'll call it a small town, and he's got a stay-at-home mom, and I'm trying to figure out how to make this as short as possible. And pretty much everything that happens in his life involves this special salad dressing that his mom makes that they eat like every day, and everybody loves it. He's married now. Let's fast forward. He comes home one day, and he's going to have some salad, and it's the salad dressing that his mom made that he's like jonesing for is not there. He calls his wife, and maybe you should just take it from here because I think it's so hilarious. Somebody stole the salad dressing. But Greg, take it from there, will you? This is too funny, and then we'll tell the world who you are and all the rest. So you go home.
So I'm looking for this salad dressing. I can't find it. I start calling my neighbors, and I finally get in touch with a guy. And I'm like, hey, man, random question. Have you seen my salad dressing? And he's like, yup. Woke up this morning, was jonesing for it, hopped on the scooter, came over, knew the code to your house, took it. Now I'm crushing a salad. And I thought to myself, what kind of man steals another man's salad dressing?
Breaks into his house.
Breaks into my house. Right. And so I call my wife back and I go, you're never going to believe this. Smitty took the salad dressing. She laughed. He goes, typical Smitty. And I'm like, I'm going to quit my job and start a salad dressing company. And there was dead silence on the other end of the phone. And then she goes, that's the greatest idea I've ever heard. This is going to work. I just have a weird feeling. And so that is how the beginning of the salad dressing journey of Tessie Mays began.
Unbelievable. So you were an insurance salesman. Is that what you were right at that moment of time?
Yeah.
And you were probably wondering, what am I going to do with my life? You were a young guy and your mom's salad dressing, and it became a number one organic salad dressing brand and actually kind of created a category, a fresh condiment category, and the first Whole 30 approved bottled salad dressing in the nation from one of your neighbors stealing your salad dressing. And the aha moment was, it's so good that people will break into your house to steal it. You gotta love that. That is fantastic. So, okay, now, that is a great story, and I love it. And I probably made it way too short, but I have to for the sake of time. But you have an interesting life, man. You've won all kinds of awards of Entrepreneur This and 35 Under 35 and EY Entrepreneur of the Year finalist, TED Speaker, Nielsen Design Impact Award in Packaging, Sam's Club Supplier of the Year, and on and on. Four kids and a wife living on a farm with Longhorn cattle. We totally connected on the cattle, by the way, because I have cows too. Oh, my gosh. So you literally did what entrepreneurs do. You jumped out of an airplane and you turned your clothing into a parachute and survived.
Yes. Well, I don't know if I survived. Well, I guess technically we're talking, so I did survive.
But you also have a number one best-selling book, Undressed, the unfiltered story of my failed American dream and how it led to success.
Yes.
Okay, wait a minute here. Wait, so tell us about the failure. I'm wondering how. You were number one, weren't you?
Yeah, so we invented clean manufacturing. We were kind of the first trailblazer of the clean food movement, which you hear a lot about right now, people eliminating artificial dyes.
Right, right.
Talking about weird thickening agents and preservatives. We were the first kind of mass consumption brand for all of that.
All right, hold tight. We're going to take a break here because you just hit the nail on the head, because my wife and my daughter and my children that are grown human beings with their own children at this point, we are clean eaters. And so this is very interesting to me, because you kind of invented this whole category in who doesn't love a good salad, right? So hang tight. Greg Vedder's here, and we're going to learn more about this story. It's a winding, wild road. Stay with us. It's Entrepreneur Week. All right, we're back with Gregory Vedder, and he's telling his story. He's an author here now of the best-selling book, Undressed, The Unfiltered Story of My Failed American Dream and How It Led to Success. He's won a lot of awards. He's got some amazing stuff going on. We're going to learn about it. I'm going to have him on for the whole hour here. Where do we leave off? Tell us again the book. I want to hear, how did your failed American dream lead to success? Greg, welcome back. Tell us.
So we kept building this brand, and we built the number one organic salad dressing brand in the country, and we won a bunch of awards, and we were continuing to grow and scale and opening manufacturing plants all over the country.
Wow.
And again, we were spearheading the clean eating movement, so there was a lot of demand, and it was only picking up. And then COVID came, and luckily we had our own manufacturing plants. So that was really great, because we were able to operate them every day. We bought buses and hired drivers and provided meals for everybody. And so we didn't stop production, I don't think, for one day. And then that turned into the supply chain crisis. And we were very excited, because we were just hammer down moving forward.
Right.
But the rest of our investor group was probably getting a little antsy, because they had investments that probably weren't doing as well. Right. And so there started to be some investor infighting in what direction the brand should go. When should we get out? When should we leave? And it kind of got so aggressive that we had to hire a professional negotiator. And all that really came to it at the end was, they want to sell it. So the board hired an investment bank. They valued the business between $300 and $500 million. Everybody started kind of calculating how much their stock was worth. And then we went for the sales process. The sale process did not go well. And at the end, when things did not happen the way everybody thought they should, but everybody had an understanding of how valuable the brand was, everybody lawyered up and all hell broke loose.
Oh my God.
And so then for the next 2 years, we were in multiple lawsuits with multiple investor groups about multiple topics, and nobody would negotiate, and everybody just wanted the entire thing. And so finally, towards the end, we were spending $350,000 a month on lawyers. The entire executive team was distracted, and the only thing that we were left to do was basically restructure the business. And in even trying to do that, one of the groups was an expert in that process as well. And so they used that to their advantage, so that really they got a large chunk and the rest of the people kind of got nothing. But you fast forward until the end, and I'm sitting in this boardroom, and we're handing this business away at an auction for $4.5 million after it had been valued at over $300 million.
Oh my gosh.
And I just sat there and I thought, how am I going to turn this situation into something of use for not only myself, but for other entrepreneurs? And that led me to write the book Undressed, the unfiltered story of my failed American dream and how it led to success.
Oh my God.
And
I feel your pain, by the way. I feel your pain. Yeah, yeah. All right, hold tight. I want to take another break. This is like Mr. Toad's wild entrepreneur ride. But there is a silver lining in this rainbow, in this storm that was on Greg Vetter's life. You can find out more about him at Gregory Vetter, V-E-T-T-E-R, GregoryVetter.com on the web. Amazing. I can't wait to hear out the rest of the story. Don't go anywhere. Entrepreneur Week will be right back. Hi, I'm Alan Taylor from Entrepreneur Weekly. Child sexual exploitation is an unimaginable crime that continues to invade our communities and homes. The Maloof Foundation is confronting this crime by providing education, promoting healing, and ensuring justice for survivors. But this cause can't be won alone. Learn how you can join the Maloof Foundation in their efforts to preserve a child's right to freedom, hope, justice, and dignity at MaloofFoundation.org. That's M-A-L-O-U-F Foundation.org.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I've got indigestion. I've got heartburn. I've got heartache for Greg Vetter, hearing his story. Best-selling book, Undressed, the unfiltered story of my failed American dream and how it led to success. He's telling the story right now. Man, I can't say I've been there to that level, but I do understand. He had a company worth, you know, $300 to $400 million, and he, because of COVID and all of the insanity that is in the business arena, you might say, walked away from it for, you know, pennies on the dollar. And you were trying to get that in, but a commercial break ran us over. Pick it up from there, Greg.
So I'm sitting in this boardroom. We had just handed away this business for $4.5 million. And I'm thinking to myself, how do I make the most of this situation? How do I make the best of it? You know, I have some guiding leadership principles, one of which is leave things better than when you found them, and the other one is lead by example. Mm. And so I went home and I just started writing down what went right, what went wrong, how can I not make the same mistake twice? And in just kind of putting the journey down on paper, I wasn't even going to write a book. I had 350 pages written, and I was talking to my performance coach, and he was asking me questions like, are all these stories you keep telling me, are these real? And I'm like, well, yeah, they are. And if you need any context, here's the story. And he goes, dude, you got to write a book. And I'm like, well, I'm not really interested in writing a book. And he goes, I spend 99% of my time trying to convince people to not write books. You need to turn this into a book.
Right.
And so I just kind of let it unfold naturally, and the universe aligned in my favor, and here we are. But those principles also led into a bunch of other businesses that we're now in, and they're all very successful. And, you know, it's amazing what can happen without the distraction of lawsuits and investor infighting.
Yeah. I mean to tell you, I totally get it. And I think most entrepreneurs end up going through that at one point or another. But now you have learned some such valuable lessons. I remember probably 20 years ago, somebody said, he hasn't gone broke yet. If he hasn't gone broke, he's going to go broke on us. So we want somebody that has gone broke so they know what it feels like. So going broke actually was an asset. I'm like, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. You want a guy that's gone broke? It's a huge, incredible educational thing that you can, when you look at somebody in the eye and say, no, we're not doing that. And they say, why? And they say, because I did that once already and it cost me, you know, $300 million, right? see? So
that's why.
Yes. It's a tremendous thing. I love that. Lead by example and leave things better than you found them. And I want you to know, I have lived my life like that too. And it pays off tremendously. And I could tell stories, but it's about you today. This is so great. I love this stuff. So you said we've got other brands that have been successful. Alta Fresh Foods and Homegrown Brands, among others. But can we go back to this? Because my daughter, who has three children now, she's 32 years old. She couldn't eat bread. What do they call it? Celiacs or whatever it is. And she loved bread. Yep. So she thought, well, you know, sourdough bread, if you do it right, you know, people that have that issue can sometimes eat bread. So she started making her own sourdough bread. You know, she's now in a health food store that she had to basically create a commercial kitchen to be able to service this health food brand that loves her bread. She mills her own wheat. She orders special. She has this whole thing. And they actually got rid of a bread brand to buy her bread, and they just keep on doubling the order over and over. And she's like, Dad, I don't know what to do. I go, it's good. It's delicious. Right. And people can eat it that couldn't eat bread. And who doesn't love bread? I mean, Jesus talked about breaking bread, you know? It's come on. So
let's go.
This whole thing, the whole 30 approved and this whole clean eating movement, it's huge these days. And now, of course, with RFK in the White House, it's becoming even more front and center of the garbage that they put in the food that we consume. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting because in the kind of the original money raising process, everybody kept saying, well, somebody else is going to do this. What you're doing, it's not rocket science. People are going to figure out how to do this.
Right.
And what we kept saying was everybody else designs products to fit into an existing manufacturing infrastructure, and it needs to run as efficiently as possible. And the reason this dressing tastes so good is because our joke was it's the most inefficient manufacturing process in the world, but that's why everybody loves it.
Right. Well,
It's harder to make.
Yeah. And because more than likely we're going to take a break and we have another half an hour with you, so don't worry. Because it is made with what is normally not in manufacturing, the process of manufacturing something probably called love, which is that you care enough to make it to where it's healthy. We're going to keep talking about this. This is such a big thing, the clean eating movement and all that. And Greg Vedder knows, I don't know anybody who knows better than old Vedder. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
GregoryVedder.com on the web. You can look up Greg, and I'm sure his book is there, Undressed, The Unfiltered Story of My Failed American Dream and How It Led to Success. We're talking to him right now. He's giving us a great, fun story about how his mother's, I guess this is your mother's nickname, Tessame, for the salad dressing brand?
Yeah. It's her nickname.
You guys, with that brand, became the number one organic salad dressing brand in the refrigerated space and paved the way for clean manufacturing of a mass scale by virtue of inventing the only gum-free bottle dressing process. Ultimately, that changed the fresh condiment category and the first Whole30 approved. What is Whole30 approved, by the way?
So originally, it was the first widely adopted clean eating diet that really took the American consumer by storm. So there's always been the clean eating advocates. The Whole 30 diet was a book, and people sending tweets to us in 2010. They're like, hey, this is Whole 30 approved. Right. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. and then the next thing we know, you know, everybody's doing, they would do the Whole 30, which was a 30-day clean eating reset in January, where you couldn't eat any grains, no legumes, no dairy, and no alcohol. And so everybody would do this Whole 30 reset, and it became really popular. And so we were able to grow nationally with all the major retailers because everybody was talking about this Whole 30 diet. And in the beginning, we were the only one, we were really the only packaged good that met the standards.
Wow.
And also tasted good. Because the key to anything is like, it has to taste good.
Right.
You can be, right? Like, you can be the cleanest on the planet. If it doesn't taste good, nobody cares.
Right.
And so that was our big thing, which was like, we were taking products, making them the best tasting that they could be, that were also the healthiest they could be. And so that's why it allowed us to grow like that.
Right. No, that is awesome. So now you ended up, just because of circumstances, learning some incredibly valuable lessons, writing a book because of it, just because you were taking down notes so you could lead by example and leave things better than you found them in the next venture. What was that next venture after you wrote the book? And what was your next venture? It was Ulta Foods or homegrown brands? What?
Yep. So Ulta Foods was first. So we bought a division from Tessie Mays because during the sale process, nobody wanted to buy a produce business because it has a short shelf life. There wasn't really a brand tied to it. It was just kind of, we also had invented a way for large retailers to get all of their kind of salads that look like private label in store into a grocery store with really great recipes with zero food waste. But our board didn't want it because nobody else, you know, wanted to participate in the produce business. So we bought that, we restructured the entire business, and then we started just innovating within the produce space, which we've been doing now for a couple years. And so that was the first business we got in. And that was kind of a great test back into explosive growth, because you start to think when you fail at that scale, oh my God, am I just a one hit wonder? Was that luck?
Right.
You know, did I run this into the ground? Do I actually not know what I'm doing?
Yeah. Doubt, you know, creeps
was
in. Not, sure.
Was, yeah. Mm. And so then applying all of these common sense principles into this business, it just took off. And so that allowed me to continue writing the book and say to myself, okay, these all work. These are tried and true. This is what you should avoid.
This is
what works.
Gotcha.
And then
so the
once
book,
we realized,
let me just make sure the book is,
yeah,
it wasn't done. It was, you had started because of the failed American dream, but then how it led to is also part of the book. Cause I don't have the book, which I really want to get a copy of it now. The story is so fun to listen to. Tell us a little bit about Ulta Foods. What do you guys sell so we can go look for this stuff?
If you go into a giant grocery store and you go and buy a family size salad of four that you think, you know, this giant grocery store made in house, we develop that recipe. We source all the ingredients and then we ship the exact amounts in what's called a master kit to the retailers. And then they assemble them kind of with zero food waste in their grocery store. And it's just a more profitable solution for them. There's no food waste and the customer gets a better product.
So this master kitting, you worked with Sam's Club and got You won an award from Sam's Club, something there.
Yeah, Supplier of the Year.
Supplier of the Year, which is huge. Sam's Club, Costco, kind of the same thing. And it's so interesting to hear the behind the scenes of how things are done. And I've always, I have to tell you, I'm glad to hear this because I've always been a little leery of the, what we call the master kitting. You called that. That's your process. I was always like, well, I don't know who put that together. I don't know how that was sourced.
Yeah.
But if I know that Alta Foods was involved now, I'm going to look for your brands. Tell us about Homegrown Brands.
Yep. So Homegrown Brands, once we realized the playbook could be used basically for anything, we started up this brand accelerator, which was me taking everything that I had to go through building Tessie Mays initially as a playbook and making it available to anybody that wanted to scale a business. So if you came to me and go, hey man, I've got this really great idea. I don't know how to do it. You know, I really need help with branding work and sales work. And be like, well, here's your proposal. And if you want to do it, we'll do it. And so one of the first ones, first companies we did was actually a Port-a-John business. And a kid I coached in lacrosse came to me and he goes, I really want to get into the Port-a-John business. I'm like, I'm not really interested in that. But then I said, if I can come up with a really great brand and really great marketing and we can make it really fun, I will participate. And so we created Tushies, portable toilets. And so, you know, now we're doing a lot of the portable toilets in the Mid-Atlantic. And then we also just launched a line of wipes, Tushies, Tush towels, you know, made in America, extra, extra large, Tushies, Tush towels. And so we're just having a lot of fun with brands like that.
That is so funny. I can't even get over it. Let me take a break. We're going to come back. I want to talk more about this. I actually have a friend that's in the porta potty business. And when I asked him, I said, what do you do for a living? He says, I deal in human feces. I went, what? And then he told me he was in the porta potty business. So we'll take a little break and come back with more of Greg Vetter. And he is the founder of Alta Brands, Alta Fresh Foods, and Homegrown Brands, and others. GregoryVetter.com on the web. We'll be right back.
Want to find out more about Entrepreneur Weekly? Visit us at Entrepreneur.com.
Hi, it's Alan Taylor from Entrepreneur Weekly. Child sexual exploitation is an unimaginable crime that continues to invade our communities and homes. The National Children's Alliance reports that almost 700,000 children are abused in the U.S. each year, with 65% of child abuse cases involving sexual exploitation. The Maloof Foundation exists to confront this crime by providing education, promoting healing, and ensuring justice for survivors. But making a difference can't be done alone. To create the greatest impact, they're going to need your help and mine. Do like I did and join the Maloof Foundation in their efforts to confront child sexual exploitation and learn how you can preserve a child's right to freedom, hope, justice, and dignity. I just want to repeat this one last time. The National Children's Alliance reports almost 700,000 children are abused in the U.S. each year. You can help. Let's do it together. At MaloofFoundation.org. That's M-A-L-O-U-F. Foundation.org. Wow, I feel
good.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. Greg Vetter joining us, CEO and founder of Alta Fresh Foods and Homegrown Brands, amongst others. You can find out more about Greg at GregoryVetter.com, V-E-T-T-E-R.com. And you know, here's James Brown in the background. I feel good. I feel good when I eat clean. When I don't eat clean, I don't feel good. And so for about the last 20 years of my life, I've been with my wife now 43 years, Greg, and she is a clean eater. She's always been a clean eater. And then she'd see me, she'd say, you're like a dump truck. You can eat anything. It doesn't matter, but I have to eat healthy. And so she's always making these healthy salads and all these healthy foods. And now our daughter's doing it and our son's doing it. And our other son is eating more healthy. And clean eating is a massive movement. And you have been at the forefront of this for a long time now. And so the book that you wrote, Undressed, The Unfiltered Story of My Failed American Dream and How It Led to Success, it's a best-selling book out there. What we like to do on the show here is we like to take some of the most important points of the book and give them a little taste of your secret sauce, so to speak, and salad dressing secret sauce. You started here, you said you live by certain principles, one being lead by example, the other one, leave things better than you found them. I love those. I would love for you to share some more. Maybe you can be the teacher for a moment, and you've done TED Talks, so this is nothing new to you. Give us some wisdom from Greg Vedder for the entrepreneur.
Okay.
Not just raw wisdom about it. Well, if you sit on a mountain and, you know. So, yeah, you've lived it.
Well, one of my favorite quotes is from Joseph Campbell, "The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek."
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that that's really important for every leader. I mean, I think the main fuel that was driving me in the beginning was just the fear of failure.
Yeah.
Because I was just so deathly afraid of being a failure or living a mediocre life. And it's interesting because once I entered that cave at the end of the Tessie Mays journey, everything that I ever had written down as a goal or prayed for or tried to manifest, it all happened after I entered the cave that I was so scared to enter, which was this cave of failure. Mm. And so that's probably the first thing with anybody going on an entrepreneurial journey, which is just being prepared for every one of your fears to happen, come to fruition, and be put out for the world to see, and being kind of strong enough to live through that, endure through that, and then grow from it. So I think that that is really important. And then another great quote that's always in my face because it's in my gym, which is fortitudine vincimus, which means by endurance we conquer. And I think the other thing is just keep going one step in front of the other. There's never really going to be this magical moment that you suddenly go from a nobody to a somebody. It is a constant step-by-step slog in the muck to eventually be able to look back and go, wow, look how far I've come, which then probably takes me to the third piece, which is just enjoying the precious present that we have, because it's really easy to get caught up in solving problems day in and day out and not giving your best to the people that matter the most to you. And so now I have kind of four pillars that I use as my metrics, which are the four things money can't buy, which is your time, your soul, your health, and your children's love. So if those aren't right with the world and with you, it doesn't matter how many awards you win or how much money you have, your life is going to suck. And so as I look back on that wild journey, now this is the stuff that matters the most to me.
Wowzer. All right, hold still. We got one more segment with you. I'm going to give you a chance to think about this. You know, you've talked about some pretty cool stuff here. I'm talking about by endurance we conquer. I wrote that down. That struck me, because that's what it takes in life, is to endure and to have courage to keep moving on. Talking with Gregory Vedder, we're going to ask him when we come back about what does he want to do next? What is it? What does he see in this, his future with all these things already? Stay with us. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. Are you paying too much for business insurance? Do you have critical gaps in your coverage?
Entrepreneur Insurance can help you find out. In 6 out of 10 policies, business owners are paying too much for property, general liability, or workers' comp insurance. Entrepreneur Insurance can help you identify ways to save and any gaps in coverage. Head to entrepreneur.com/insurance to complete the questionnaire and get a personalized quote. It's an easy way to find out if you're paying too much. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/insurance.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we're talking to, I guess I could say, kind of the one of the fathers of the clean eating movement. His name is Gregory Vedder. Greg Vedder, CEO and founder of Alta Fresh Foods and Homegrown Brands, among others. He's the author of a book, Undressed, the Unfiltered Story of My Failed American Dream and How It Led to Success. And I'm just curious. Thanks. First of all, thanks for spending a whole hour with us. I think this has been a lot of fun. I love your philosophy. It just, it rings with me. It's like we're brothers, man. I can feel it. So I feel like I have a new friend out there in the world. And that's, you know, it's hard to find people that you resonate with in that way. So I appreciate you. I'll just say that. So what's next for Greg Vedder? I mean, it seems like you're like me. You just keep on reinventing yourself from the, you know, the clean eating movement to bowel movements with your, you know, rear end wipes, right?
Right. We're vertically integrated.
What's next, Greg?
We have a alcohol business launching here in like the next 2 weeks.
No.
Called Quenchers.
Oh my God.
So that's interesting. That's a very different world to be in. We have a clean energy drink coming out this summer, which is going to be really cool.
Wow.
And then a lot of my time is actually, I'm writing another book. Mm. A lot of people have come to me and said, hey, I love the field guide at the end of every chapter, but I have more questions. So I'm writing a book just of all of the principles that I've learned along the way. So it's going to be basically a full book just on the field guide, which is pretty cool. That is coming to shape as we speak. And then the other stuff that I'm doing, I'm working with a couple young CEOs, just helping them think through the world a little bit with some perspective. So I do a little bit of coaching. And then one of the things that I'm going to launch here in the next 30 days, I'm picking the exact date, is I'm going to start doing leadership retreats at my farm. Mm. Of just all of the different principles that I live by and kind of exploring them in greater detail for other people.
That's great.
And so the first one is going to be titled Finding Optimal. Mm. Because I think everybody can get into their most optimal state if they're aware of what's required. And so I'm really interested in that type of information for leaders and people in general, just to think through, you know, kind of eliminating excuses, but then also digging deeper into the other aspects of life that help fuel you towards the goals or the vision that you have for yourself. So well, that's really what's been taking a bunch of my time up.
I love it. I also see here that it says what ranks as perhaps the most memorable win was his engagement with Commander's football team, the coach and staff, prior to their NFC division playoff game versus Detroit Lions. His words resonated deeply with all. Notably, they won by a significant margin. You've obviously got something special, and I'm proud to be able to have you on the show. And I love these kind of stories. I wish you the best of luck. And I guess your website for gregoryvedder.com is where people can find out if they want to be involved with one of your talks at the ranch there.
Yes.
Good. gregoryvedder.com. I love this story, man. I really do. I'm just I'm kind of blown away because, you know, these kind of stories are so fun to listen to. And for me as the host of the show, you are like the clean eating movement. You're just a clean communicator, which makes it more fun. You're unpretentious. You're just a regular guy, but you have clearly, you don't have a, it doesn't seem like you have a bitterness. You become better instead of bitter over, like you said in your book here, that is the failed American dream. But that failure is what catapulted you through your attitude and your, the attitude in general that you have towards life. And it just shows. And by endurance, we conquer. My friend, you have conquered, yeah, and you will continue to conquer. So keep up the good work, Greg. Really, I enjoy it. We'll follow you.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a great conversation.
No, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. GregoryVetter.com. Pick his book up. Try some of his foods. Try his rear end wipes and his porta potties, and maybe some alcohol even at some point. All right. We'll see you next time right here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.